Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. Of course, a passage that we talk about quite a bit on this program is John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the context shows that's talking about being made free from sin. Therefore, the necessary implication is that we're only made free from sin by God's truth. False religious teaching won't do it. If the Bible says 2 plus 2 equals 4 and somebody else says 2 plus 2 equals 5, that's the wrong answer. It won't set us free from sin. And so all these different churches teaching different things, they can't all be right. But what God said, and that's what's in the Bible, is right. It can be understood. That brings us to an important question. Does it really matter what we teach religiously? It seems like people, a lot of believers, have the attitude that it doesn't really matter, that one preacher can teach one thing, another preacher can teach something different, and they're both okay, that God approves of both of those things, even though they're teaching conflicting doctrines. I suggest to you that God is not pleased with all the different teachings out there that are different than what the Bible says. The question again is, does it matter what we teach religiously? Let me read for you to start with a passage I think that will help us to see that it does matter. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And so if teaching the doctrines of men, instead of teaching the doctrines of God, if teaching the doctrines of men, the commandments of men, causes our worship to be vain, that would be useless or worthless, then it certainly matters what we teach. Can we go to heaven if our worship is vain or worthless? Let me give you an illustration. The Mormon Church. I don't know if a lot of you know that about some of the doctrines that the Mormon Church teaches, but let me read you a couple of quotes. These are a couple of quotes from Mormon doctrine. First of all, this first quote is from the Journal of Discourses, Volume 2. Page 40, they say, the Mormons, that God was once a man who progressed to become one of many gods. God was once a man who progressed to become one of many gods? That's a part of Mormon doctrine. Notice this quote from the Articles of Faith by James Talmage. Another Mormon quote, "Every man that follows Mormon gospel will become gods with a planet of their own to populate." So their view of God, and this is what they teach, their view of God is that he was once a man and he progressed to become a God, and that we can do the same thing. Now let me ask you this question. Surely, if you're listening tonight, you don't agree with that. You understand that the Bible teaches there's only one God and that man does not progress to become a God. This, I like to call this mythical Mormonism. You understand that this is false. Well, do you think it matters that the Mormon Church teaches something like that? Does it matter that the Mormons teach such mythical false doctrine? Or is that just okay with God for somebody to teach that God was once a man and we can progress to become a God ourselves? I think we can all see that it matters that that kind of false doctrine would displease God, and people that teach such things are going to lead people astray, lead people to being lost. If you have a Bible question or comment, as the announcer said earlier, give us a call at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. How about homosexuality? I have a quote here from the United Methodist Church in the year 2015. So this would be last year. A quote, "The church leadership voted to submit a legislative proposal that removes prohibitive language from the United Methodist Book of Discipline concerning homosexuality. The proposal would allow United Methodist pastors to perform same-sex marriages in United Methodist churches. This proposal does not consider homosexuality incompatible with Christian teachings, even though Methodists have historically recognized the practice as sinful." Now, I asked you a question. Is it okay with God for the Methodist Church to change and start now encouraging gay marriages, which is what they're doing based upon this quote? Is that okay? When Romans 1, 26 through 27 reads this way, For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The Bible in a number of places condemns homosexuality. Now the Methodist Church used to stand opposed to gay marriage, and now they're switching over to encouraging it and actually having their preachers perform ceremonies. They're teaching this false doctrine that gay marriage is okay. Do you think that's okay with God, just to teach such false doctrine? I think you can see that it matters what we teach. Randy from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I had heard you mentioned something earlier about the Ten Commandments and what it said about keeping the Sabbath, and that there was something in the New Testament, and I'd forgotten what chapter and verse it was, that sort of negated that makes it okay for Saturday to not be the Sabbath.
Okay. Well, I think, I'm not sure which program you're referring to, but there are a number of passages that would prove that the Sabbath law of the Old Testament is no longer binding, just like the laws that say they do animal sacrifices or circumcision. It's just like one of those. But one of the passages I might have mentioned, you may remember, is Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Let me read that passage, Randy, and then I'll get your further comments. It's talking about Jesus here in Colossians 2. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So verse 14 is talking about some ordinances. That would be laws ordained by God. Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross. And so Paul says in verse 16, let no man therefore judge you with respect to the Sabbath anymore, because it's one of these laws that had been blotted out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross. Did you want to ask a question about that, Randy, or follow up?
No, that clarifies it wonderfully. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call, Randy. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we can discuss it further.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Julio from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Julio, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
Yeah, well, it's a question concerning the Mormon Church. I heard I'm listening to your station, your program on 1410 Nagan and Bakersfield.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see. I'm a member of the church. I've been a member for 3 months, and they helped me out. See, I don't have much of a family, and they made me feel warmth and everything at first. But but there's something missing here. They're good people. They're wonderful people, most of them. But there is just something missing there. And there's no that complete warmth. It's not there. In other words, I don't feel the complete spirit there.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a courthouse or some kind of a building, you know, business building, government building before a church.
You're talking about the Mormon church, right?
Yes, sir.
The quotes I gave is from their own teachings that God was once a man. He progressed to become one of many gods, and we can do the same thing. We can progress as a man if we're Mormon and become a god one day over our own planet. That's false religious teaching, Julio. Do you follow what I'm saying?
They were saying that that's under Romans 4 or 8.
Okay.
Where it says that we can become gods. And I need to look that up. They told me it's in the Bible, that everything's in the Bible, that one of the great prophets, I don't know if it was Isaiah, spoke about Joseph Smith back in the ancient days during the Bible.
Well, they're just, let me say this with all due respect. They made that up. The Bible doesn't talk to say anything about Joseph Smith. And the Bible says in many, many places, Julio, that there's only one God. I'm looking at Ephesians 4, verse 6. It says there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So how many gods is there according to Ephesians 4 verse 6, Julio?
Well, just one.
That's right. But the Mormon church teaches that any faithful Mormon man can progress to become a god of his own planet. So according to them, there are many gods out there. The Mormon church contradicts the Bible, God's word, in many cases. Now here's the question for tonight, Julio. Does it matter to God that people like the Mormons who claim to be Christians, that they're teaching things that are completely contrary to God's word? Do you think that matters to God?
Oh, very much.
That's right. Jesus said, remember Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so these things that the Mormon church and others teach, they're commandments of men, that makes their worship vain, useless, or worthless. We can't go to heaven that way. That's why it's so important that we teach the truth, because only the truth will make us free from sin. John 8:32. Any more follow-up, Julio?
Okay, my companion went to go be with the Heavenly Father a little over 4 months ago, and they claim that this is the spiritual world. In other words, my companion is still here with me, not physically, of course, but, you know, spiritually. And other churches say that they're not, that they're in heaven, that no matter what, they're all in heaven.
Well, Julio, I think it's a little involved to go into that on this program. Could you send me an email after the program so we can converse further via email and maybe over telephone if you want to, but we'll just do email if that's all you're comfortable with?
I'd rather speak in phone. I don't have a computer. I got one of those California Lifeline phones that I only use for work. But yes, I will. One of these days, maybe I can talk. You see, they got me the job I have now. And people are telling me, well, Julio, if you get out of the Mormon church, they might take your job away.
Here's my cell phone number. You can call me anytime.
Okay,
Pat Donahue.
Let me get a pencil. Let me get a pencil.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Bless your heart. You can get mine.
Okay. Well, don't give me your number over the air, but I'm going to give you my number over the air. Okay, you ready?
Okay, all right. Okay, hold on. Bear with me, please.
Julio, let me get back to you. You just stay on the line. I'll get back to you in a minute.
Okay,
so
okay,
we're talking.
I got paper now.
Okay, Pat Donahue at 256-682-9753.
Got it.
Call me anytime, and that goes for any of our other listeners. If you want to call and talk to me on the phone about Bible topics, call me, Pat Donahue, at 256-682-9753. Thanks for your call, Julio.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. And so we're talking about things that people teach that are different than what the Bible says, and does it matter what we teach? A few months ago, I gave a quote from Billy Graham. Let's talk about that quote again, because Billy Graham is such a respected Bible preacher, teacher. Billy Graham is famous for teaching in crusades after crusade, that people need to come forward and accept Christ in order to be saved. That's what he's famous for. He has crusades and speaks to thousands of people, sometimes at football stadiums. At the end, he always says, you need to come forward to accept Christ in order to be saved. But in an interview, and here's where that quote was from, in an interview with Robert Shuler on May 31st, 1997, Mr. Graham said, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world, or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved, and they're going to be with us in heaven. You see, Mr. Graham, even though he said in his crusades you have to accept Christ to be saved, he said the Muslims, the Buddhists, even the people who are unbelievers, the atheists, can be saved without even knowing the name of Jesus. Now, he made a similar statement in the January 1978 issue of McCall's Magazine. Here's what he said there. This is Billy Graham talking. He says, I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost. We're going to H-E-L-L. if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God. My question for our audience, is it okay for Billy Graham to teach contrary to probably the most important point regarding the gospel just because he was, quote, such a good man? Well, the Bible teaches very definitely against what Mr. Graham said. For example, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 8:24, Jesus also said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so Mr. Graham says that you don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. If you're faithful to your religion, whether you're a Jew or a Muslim or even an atheist, you can be saved without naming the name of Christ. But Jesus said in many places, the Bible says in many places, you cannot be saved without believing in Christ, without accepting Christ. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. What we're trying to show tonight is that it matters what we teach. It matters. Here's a quote from the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches, page 22. It says, and this quote says, it is most likely that in the apostolic age, when there was but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and no differing denominations existed, the baptism of a convert by that very act constituted him a member of the church and at once endowed him with all the rights and privileges of full membership. In that sense, baptism was the door into the church. Now it is different. What do you mean now it is different? If baptism was the door into the church back then, as 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, then baptism should be the door into the church now. The Baptist church says it used to be the door into the church, but now it is different. Who gave the Baptist church the right to change it, to say this is the way it was in the Bible, but now it is different? Let me make this point before I move on. If it's different than the New Testament church, then it is not the New Testament church, right? 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. 2 Peter 2, 1-2 reads this way. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in condemnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That passage is very clear that it matters if preachers, whether or not preachers teach the truth or they teach false doctrine. It says these false prophets will bring in condemnable heresies. That means the people that accept these false teachings will be condemned. And the false teachers bring swift destruction upon themselves. It certainly matters what we teach. If we teach false doctrine, not only will that cause us to lose our salvation, but if people that we're teaching accept it, it'll cause them to lose their salvation. They'll be condemned, according to 2 Peter 2, 1-2. Matthew 15:14 makes it clear that not only will the false teacher be lost, but also those who follow their false teaching, as we just mentioned. Here's how Matthew 15:14 reads. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. An analogy that Jesus is making here. Two people coming up, walking through the pasture, coming up on a ditch. If neither one of them can see, they're both going to fall in the ditch. One needs to be able to see to lead the other across the bridge or around the ditch. Now, Jesus is making a spiritual point here. The blind leader is the false teacher. The blind follower is us if we allow the false teacher to lead us astray. Both will fall into the ditch. Not just the false teacher, but we also will be falling into the ditch. We also will be lost if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. That's why I always say, when you're listening to any Bible teaching, even myself, somebody on TV like Billy Graham, or on the radio, at church where you go, you better do what the Bereans did in Acts 17:11 and search the scriptures to make sure what they're teaching is so. Don't let them lead you astray, because if they do, you're going to be lost, according to Matthew 15:9, Matthew 15:14, 2 Peter 2:1-2, a number of other passages in the Bible, also including 2 John 9-11. Let me read that. But before I do, let me mention the number again. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. 2 John 9-11 reads this way: Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We can learn at least two things from this. We have to abide in the teaching of Christ. And if we're not abiding in the teaching of Christ, if we either are believing false doctrine or teaching false doctrine or practicing false doctrine, we don't have God. We can't be saved. Now, if somebody else is not abiding in the teaching of Christ, we better not bid them Godspeed. We better not accept what they're saying or help them in what they're doing, because if we do that, bid them Godspeed, we become a partaker in their evil deeds. So the false teacher will be lost, and if we go along with the false teacher, if we allow the false teacher to lead us astray, we'll also be lost. We have to abide in the teaching of Christ, in what we believe, in what we teach, in what we practice. Abide in the teaching of Christ, or we don't have God, will be lost. So it certainly does matter what we teach and what we believe. Joni from Oklahoma, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, how are you? My question is, you know, there's so much confusion nowadays about following doctrine and it being changed and all that kind of stuff. So my question is about marriage and what the Bible says in reference to a man being the spiritual leader in his home and what that truly looks like without all of this stuff about, well, it's okay to do this and it's okay to treat you like that or that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I think I know what you mean, Joni. We're going to have to go off the air in just a minute or two, but let me read a passage to you and it'll probably go along with exactly what you're saying. In Ephesians 5:22 and 23, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So, in the family relationship, the husband is the head or the boss, but he should be, I'm going to use a term accommodatively, he should be a benevolent dictator. Now, he really shouldn't be a dictator, but you know what I mean. He should be benevolent. He should be a loving head, not a dictator. And so the wife is to submit to her husband as the husband is to be the head of the wife. Do you want to add anything to that, Joni?
Well, I mean, I understand that, but what if the husband is in sin?
Well, you mean if he's asking the wife to sin?
No, if he's in sin himself.
Well, the Bible does give one scriptural cause for divorce and one scriptural cause only, fornication, Matthew 19:9. So if he is unfaithful to his wife, the wife could then have the choice of divorcing him for fornication. There's no other scriptural cause for divorce. But as long as she's married to him, she's going to have to submit to him. If he is the boss. Now, if he asks her to do something that is against God's law, she doesn't have to do that, Ephesians 5:29. Joni, we're going to have to go off there in about 15 seconds. Thank you for your call. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com if you'd like to discuss this further, Joni.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com.